everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We're so excited today. We are here to talk about the Off Network, particularly Netflix. This is Netflix rom-com podcast, and we are catching up on some of the romantic movies that have come out on Netflix this year and one from last year. It's going to be really fun. And I'm Rachel, and Amy is here.
Hey, guys.
Yes, and we have a very special guest. We have my friend Jennifer Chandler is here. This is her second time on the podcast.
Is it my first time on Hallmarkies, though, right?
Yes, first time on Hallmarkies it's the second time on Hallmarkies podcast.
Oh, okay.
Third time on my podcast. You were on the other one. And so I've been trying to figure out a way, because we talk about rom-coms all the time on our direct message, and I'm like, I got to get her involved in the podcast. So I'm really, really excited, because she doesn't have Hallmark Channel, and so this was perfect to talk about Netflix.
Yeah,
and Netflix has become quite the rom-com giant over the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's pretty fun to see, and Christmas really, and so. Jennifer, tell us what kind of excites you. What do you like about romantic comedies?
I guess, I don't know, all the normal tropes. I like kind of the predictability. Like, I guess that's probably what some people don't like about them, but I like the generic structure of it. And it's kind of like a friend, you know, it's reliable. It's something you're comfortable with. And then usually they'll throw in a few new things. So I like that too, but I like comedy. I like something heartfelt. So I think that's why I like rom-coms.
Yeah. Yeah. And Amy, you are our off-network correspondent, so this is perfect for you.
Oh, yes. But finding movies that are not on Hallmark, that are Hallmark equivalent, can sometimes be difficult.
Yes, this is true. We made the mistake last year of watching some of the Lifetime thrillers, and that was a huge mistake.
Before I even bring to the other ladies, like, maybe we should watch this Lifetime movie, I make sure I research it to the bone. Yeah. So that we don't have that mistake again.
Yes. I felt so bad about that. But it was a learning experience. It bonded us, I think, Amy.
Yeah.
It bonded you and me.
It was my first time on the podcast. We were all a little traumatized. But it ended up being good in the end.
So yeah, I think I'm gonna need you to put the link to that one.
it was so.
Need a follow up on this. This sounds amazing.
I think I was still like 19 at the time. So.
And
a little young.
Yeah, Jennifer was last on our podcast with her husband Sean, who's a YouTuber and is incredible, and we were talking in our top five series about our top five favorite romantic movies. We were very broad, probably to a fault, but it was really fun to do. So I'll put a link to that. If you guys haven't heard it, you definitely want to listen to that one. And so today we're talking about Netflix, and we're going to start with To All the Boys I've Loved Before. So this is our one from last year, and we never covered it, and it turned into this whole phenomenon. So I wanted to cover it. It just only took us a year and a half, so sorry. We had 95 Hallmark movies to cover. So this is about a teenage girl named Lara Jean, who has written all these love letters to her dream guys that she's in love with. And in the movie, her sister, as kind of a way to boost her confidence, sends out these letters to all these guys, and they get them. And then she develops this whole scheme of she's going to pretend to be dating one of the guys named Peter, who she thinks is just kind of a dumb guy. Like, she doesn't really respect him that much. And just to try to kind of play over these letters. And yeah, in the book, her sister does it because she's mad at her, which I think makes way more sense.
Way more sense.
Yeah.
I didn't read the book, but that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Amy, did you read the book before you watched the movie, or just the movie?
Yes. I love the book. So.
Yeah. Do you agree that the book is better?
Movie? I think so. I just didn't really get the book, but the book, in my opinion, I'm just kind of like, Peter is a jerk. Mm-hmm. Like, the way you slice it, he's kind of just not, he's not the, like, I think they made him more likable in the movie.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. I have my issues with what they did, but yeah, just that whole letter thing is the biggest facepalm translation of the book. Like,
I'm the most upset that they didn't include the dog. That's my biggest problem.
The other bizarre thing that they did is they had her sister, her just older sister, who had been dating this guy, Josh. They had her played by like a 38-year-old actress. Like, what is going on?
Really? How old?
It was way too old. I forgot to write it down. Let's see here.
Isn't it the girl from Pretty Little Liars?
Yeah, she was born in 1988, so she's 31 years old. So, oh, wow. Yeah, she's way too old. It looked ridiculous to me. I mean, I know they always do that in these high school movies, but that was pushing it to me. Like, what is she doing? I don't know. That was weird. But our leads in this one, we had Lana Condor playing Lara Jean. And she was, in my opinion, the best part of the movie. She was very charming and sweet and easy to root for. What did you think of Lara Jean in this movie, Amy?
I really enjoyed her. I love Lana, though, so I might be a little bit biased because I love her as an actress.
So you knew her before?
Yeah, I did. I think she's fantastic. But, yeah, I think they did a good job of, like, portraying Lara Jean as Lana, and I feel like they brought in a little bit of Lana's personality into the character, which I liked.
Okay, because I had only seen her in X-Men movies for like a half a minute. She was Jubilee, I think, in X-Men Apocalypse, but like hardly at all. So I wasn't too familiar with her, but that's cool. What did you think of her as Lara Jean, Jennifer?
I thought she was really endearing. I didn't read the book, so I don't know how she compares to the character, but
oh, okay.
I thought she was a really... like a likable, like you said, easy to root for. I wanted to hear more about her story. I connected with her. I liked hearing about her life and all the different layers.
I did too. I thought she was really cute. And in general, I thought the casting was really good in the movie, except for her older sister.
Margot
was the only one that was bonkers to me.
Well, I didn't even realize. I thought she was like probably 21, like around my age. Really? I did not realize her age at all, but that's just me.
Oh, she stuck out so much to me personally.
I feel like she sleeps in a vat of lotion. Like, she doesn't look... old at all. Her skin is completely smooth and like, I don't know.
Yeah. But I overall enjoyed the film. I liked it. I did by the end of the year, I felt like it was a little overrated, because I mean, I think it's perfectly fun little movie, but people were talking about it as one of the great teen movies of all time. So that's like a whole nother discussion to me.
I think personally, because I do tutor and work with a lot of girls that are around 12, 13-ish,
uh-huh.
This is going to be one of those movies for them.
Mm. Yeah, like 16 Candles.
Yeah, like
for this generation.
For them, it's going to be like Mean Girls was for my generation.
Interesting, because so, here's
girl, they loved it. This is something they're going to remember forever.
The thing that I had a problem with, that I think it's a perfectly cute movie, the thing that to me keeps it from being that next level of like one of the greats, is I felt like the male characters were super bland to me, and like they just kind of do whatever they're told, as opposed to, as an example, in the movie Clueless, which is one of my all-time favorites, the character of Josh has his own opinions, he has his own ideas, he has his own personality, his own dreams, separate from Cher. Like, he's a unique person, and all the male characters are that way in the movie. They're not just sort of pushed around by the female characters, whatever they want. And I don't know, to me, particularly Peter, it just felt like, it felt a little bit like a manic pixie dream guy, you know, like he just, I wish I'd gotten a little more personality from him of like, what does he want? What are his interests? As opposed to just kind of whatever she wants him to do. He's like, sure. Okay. And he's dreamy. Don't get me wrong. Noah Centineo is very handsome, but I don't know. I just, that to me is what separates it from one of the greats to just a cute little movie.
I mean, I think though that, like, one of the greats, I think, is different, though, for every kid, because I can ask a 13-year-old girl right now, and they're not going to know what Clueless is, 99% of them. So, well, I don't even really know. I think I've seen that movie once. Mm-hmm. So, like...
But it's just an example of I just felt like you could use a bunch of examples, but I Love, Simon, for instance. I feel like Love, Simon, if you're talking about modern examples, all of the characters have a lot of layers, mm-hmm. and they're all sort of, they're not just sort of pushed around by whatever Simon wants, and they're flawed and they make mistakes, and so I don't know, that to me is what separates it from one of the greats. But I thought it was cute. I liked it. I don't know, what do you think, Jennifer, what I'm saying?
I think I see what both of you guys are saying. I think that it's a really good representation of the time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in particular, like, I don't know if y'all feel this way, but I feel like the way that movies integrate social media is such a nicer way than social media actually is.
Yeah, that's true.
it's just, it even romanticizes social media, and they're not like all glued to their screens in a way that they can't interact, because obviously that'd be the worst movie ever. So I feel like this movie really represents, like, you know, to her point, like, this generation's experience, kind of. And whereas Clueless, I would say, would be a fair representation for your generation, not to make you sound old.
No, it's true. I am the old fogey of this podcast. No,
well, I mean, I just referenced 16 yeah. Candles as a generational
example. But so. 16 Candles is way more raunchy than people remember.
I've never seen that. It.
Oh, you've never seen it.
No.
It's not my favorite, actually. It's pretty raunchy. And there's some parts of it that have not held up. But anyway, I just wish that the characters were a little better. But you're absolutely right about what you're saying about social media. I remember a few years ago watching The Duff. Talk about a movie that has older people playing high school students. But I think it's cute. It's a cute enough movie, but I felt like it was so weird because she has this pretty mean thing happen to her, and everybody in her life is like, oh, just brush it off. Just deal with it. It happens to everybody. And I remember asking my sister, who at the time was in high school, I was like, is that the thing? Like, if you get, like, something that to me would have been so embarrassing, is everybody just kind of like, eh, it's your turn. It happens to everybody. I was like, well, oh, wow.
To your point, they did that in this movie with the whole hot tub thing.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, you know, there was situations similar, like social media stuff that happened to me in high school. And mm-hmm. a lot of people just told me, especially older adults, they're like, get over it. It's social media.
So weird, like, to me.
People didn't take it seriously because it's on the internet. But like, it wasn't. And now that I think about it now that I've been out of high school for 4 years, I'm kind of like, yeah, it wasn't the end of the world. I made a bigger deal out of it than it should have been. But at the time, it should have been handled differently.
Right. Yeah. Well, and to throw us under the bus as the old people, I think it's more shocking to you and me, Rachel, because we didn't have that. Like, no. I think the closest to that sort of exposure would be, like, I don't even know if I should, Zanga, like, yeah. or MySpace, like, right. like writing something embarrassing, maybe putting an embarrassing picture out, but the amount of opportunities there are for teenagers today to humiliate themselves is endless. I mean, it's just completely yeah. endless, and it happens all the time. So, I mean, to an extent, there's going to be a new thing tomorrow. So, it, you know, they just yeah. think about it differently. So there's things that would happen. I'd be like completely mortified. I'm so grateful every day, all day, that my middle school and high school years are not documented online for the rest of the time.
I know.
So lucky. You are so lucky, both of you.
Yeah. No, I know.
I started my YouTube channel when I was 13. Who let me do that?
I can't imagine. I came home from my mission when I was 24, and that was the first time I'd ever heard about any of this stuff. I hadn't heard of blogs. I remember finding, oh, what's a blog? Blog? What is that? Blogs. Any of that. I mean, I didn't start on Facebook.
What?
Yeah, I didn't start on Facebook until I was, until 2007. So I was 26 when I, I know, I'm just like so old, but yeah, I don't know. I just wish that the male characters, particularly Peter, had just had a little bit more personality to them, a little bit more of, I just felt like they were a little bland, but handsome and fun. Like, it's fine. I just, that to me is what separates it from being one of the greats.
I think Peter's character specifically, I feel like in the book, at least the way I portrayed it, if I was Laura Jean, I wouldn't have wanted to be around him regardless. Like, it just wouldn't, it wouldn't be the person I want to be around. And I think the disconnect when they're putting that into the movie was trying to make him likable so that people wouldn't be like, why are you even near him? Just in the book, to me, I was like, this does not make sense.
And I think I'm going to have to read the book.
In the movie, it's, they were trying to make him likable to a point where he wasn't necessarily a strong character.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair to say, yeah. But yeah, I think Noah Centineo is going to be a big star. I think he is super charming.
I remember seeing him. He was like 14 on Austin and Ally on Disney Channel. And now he's like grown up into this like teen idol. And all these 13-year-old girls I tutor and babysit for have like their phone screen wallpapers or pictures of them and of him and stuff. And I'm like, he's 21. He's my age. And you're 13. Like, come on. Like,
yeah. Did you, Jennifer, did you have somebody that you were, that was sort of your teen idol kind of person, actor?
I don't feel like this is fair. I mean, okay, so if, I think probably the first like celebrity crush would be Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I remember I got one of those, I don't even know what they're, I can't remember what they're called, but like those teeny bopper magazines from the store. Yeah, one of those. And it had like an interview with him where it talked about all the things that he liked. So literally like a winner that I was. I wrote him a letter saying that I liked everything that he liked in the interview. Like, I just pretended like I hadn't read the interview. I don't know. Mailed it in, and I was so excited. I was convinced we were going to get married. And then I got one of those like auto-generated letters back, and I was done. I never looked back. I was completely done. I was like, what? You sent me a letter printed by somebody else, or are you crazy? And I was done. That's funny. After that, the next biggest one is Leonardo DiCaprio, and Titanic was huge. So
yeah, that'll
date me right there.
Both of those. I had a friend who saw Titanic 17 times.
Oh, man. In the theater. I think I saw 5 in the theater.
Yeah.
I cry so much on that movie. I've watched it 17 times. And I didn't see it for the first time until I was like 16.
Yeah. Well, we were around 16 when it came out. So, and it was, I mean, it's hard to overstate how how big that movie was and how popular Leonardo DiCaprio was. He was too skinny for me, but I always liked more. Like, because my brother would tease me mercilessly if I ever did anything like put a poster up or anything like that. Yeah. So I don't remember having like a real crush, but I did love Star Wars, and particularly Harrison Ford.
Yes.
Was my favorite.
Good choice.
And as I sort of went back to pretended I was in the 80s, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, my sister actually had all of these giant cutouts of Star Wars figures in the hallway leading up to her room. And so there was Harrison Ford, and of course you have Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, Leia was there. I can't even, R2 I think was there. So I was we were big into Star Wars.
So did Harrison Ford find his way into your room?
But I'm not gonna answer that. No, I don't know. I can't remember. But yes. But yeah, he was my favorite.
That's
stars would you give to All the Boys I've Loved Before? Jennifer first.
Of course. So I really hate rating things because I feel like my feelings fluctuate a lot. And then I'm really hesitant about the perfect scores. Like, I'm real stingy with fives. Like,
yeah.
Like, if I have a scale, then anyway. So I did 3.5. I don't know if that's allowed, if you can do a half.
That's allowed.
So that's what I said.
Okay, that's allowed. Well, 3.5
stars or crowns or... polka dots.
I totally know what you're saying because I'm Rotten Tomatoes. They went and uploaded all of my old reviews, and some of these are from like 2014, 2015. So they were a long time ago. And I had ones that I was like, did I really give that an A? Did I really give that what? What was I thinking?
Or I mean, you just discovered blogs. Give yourself a break.
I know, right? but yeah, I tried to do a whole month where I was reviewing the Rankin Bass movies, which are these animated shorts around Christmas, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all this stuff. And I actually realized I didn't really like them that much, but I think doing them all together, it kind of wasn't a good idea. So they got to the point where they were uploading all my Rankin Bass reviews, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I look like the worst person in the world. I gave a rotten review to Frosty the Snowman.
Oh my goodness.
It was so funny. And I'm like, well,
what are you gonna do? You're a Scrooge. Who knew?
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
And now you watch like nearly 100 Christmas movies a year, so
but Frosty doesn't make the cut.
I was like, this movie's just bizarre. And it is kind of bizarre when you really think about it. But anyway, it was really funny. Like, oops. But yeah, so that's the that's the joy of rating things around tomatoes. But anyway, I actually agree with you. I give it a 3.5. I think it's a really cute little movie. I enjoyed it. But I don't think it's one of the best ever of all time.
Well, I will be giving it a 4.5 because I love it. Right. And there's a Hallmark alum in it, so, you know, I'm happy.
Yeah, who's our Hallmark alum?
Jordan Burchett played the guy at the very end after the credits. He played John Ambrose for that short period, you know, when Kitty opened the door and was like, Laura Jean! That's
right.
Part. And unfortunately, they recast him for the second movie, which I'm really, really upset about. Because Jordan Burchett is just such a sweet guy, makes YouTube videos. Of course, he's on Hallmark, so I'm rooting for him, not the other guy they recast for him. So, yeah, but whatever.
Okay, I'm going to have to rewatch it because I don't remember.
It's after the credits.
That's why I didn't see it.
Yeah, he opens the door, and it's John Ambrose McLaren holding the letter and flowers. Played by Jordan Burchett, and then Kitty screams up the stairs, Laura Jean, it's for you, and then it goes to black, and it's so
funny. That's amazing. It's one of
the other guys that a letter got sent to, and like, so all this stuff has happened with Peter, and then like, there's another guy. But they rejected him, so unfortunately, sadly.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I know romantic comedies are lighthearted usually, and I mean, they can get a little serious, but I feel like the sister needs a little bit more repercussions for her actions. Mm-hmm. I think she should have thought a little bit more before she sent those things down.
Yeah.
Well, and especially if she was doing it to be nice. What?
No. That's the weirdest. No, that doesn't make any sense at all. I'm so glad that there is actually a different plot in the book. I didn't realize it was different. I was like, what would she do if she was trying to be mean? Like, that was a terrible nice thing to do. So her mean things must be even worse.
Yeah. She's like a sociopath, like little girl. The only thing that I can relate to what happened to Laura Jean is when I was like seventh grade, however old that is, when you're just really insecure, you know, with your friends and with other stuff, at least I was, and my little sister, she was probably 5 at the time, I had a little address book, and you know how you kind of have you have addresses in there or in your phone nowadays that you don't really talk to that person that much anymore. They were like old friends and you don't really. Anyway, she decided to go through my address book and call everybody in the whole address book. Like, I came to school the next day and everybody was like, oh, Rachel, your little sister called and talked to me. I was so embarrassed at the time.
Oh my God. And now, how was that back then?
What's that?
How expensive was that back right? then? Didn't you have to pay by the minute?
Well, no, that's only for long distance calls. Oh, okay. And you
had
to pay.
For a little while, we had to do that. Yeah, but for the minute, however many minutes you used.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because this we didn't have cell phones. I didn't get my first. I know, I'm so old. I didn't get my first cell phone until 2000, like 2000. So that I was like 19. When I got my first cell phone. But anyway, so this was just regular phone. So to call these people in my book, it was all free. But anyway, it was so embarrassing. I just remember being mortified and my mom was just laughing and cracking up. She thought it was so funny and that just made me more mad. So anyway, there you go. That was my shame. Seventh grade shame. I was so mad at her. But
hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
All right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watching on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Anyway, so, all right. The next one that we're going to talk about is, now we're moving into this year, and we're going back to the films of Noah Centineo, and we're talking about The Perfect Date. And this movie is about this guy named Brooks Radigan, which I hate that name. It's
it sounds
terrible.
Like you'd see in like an LA, what are those old LA shows that did not portray LA at all? Like the OC and stuff.
Right.
It's yeah, like from The Great Mouse Detective, the bad guy in there, his name was Radigan.
I know. That's why I think of Great Mouse Detective. It just sounds like, to me, somebody going to Cambridge that's very snobby. Brooks Radigan.
What was it, Harvard or Yale?
Yeah, that's true. He didn't want to go to Yale. But it's a terrible name. But anyway, he is Mr. Suave, Mr. Cool, and he creates an app where anyone can basically pay him to go on a date. And he's going to be the perfect date for them to kind of test out dating. And yeah, so it stars Noah Centineo as Brooks Radigan. And so, Jennifer, what was your overall thoughts on this one?
Well, he's amazing. First of all, the whole time, anytime I looked away from the screen, I thought it was Mark Ruffalo. Like, his voice sounded just like Mark Ruffalo the whole movie. And that kept throwing me off like a lot. But I guess my overall thoughts was I liked the twist that it was a male protagonist instead of a female, because most rom-coms tend to center around a girl. So I liked that it was a guy. I liked kind of the take, and I liked the self-discovery in it. I thought that was a good storyline.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Amy? What do you think?
I really like this movie, specifically because the two lead actors had played on Austin and Ally. They played love interest as kids when I was young on Disney Channel.
Oh, fun.
To see them all grown up and like still, well, like being love interests again, Lauren Murano and Noah Centineo, like, because that was Noah Centineo's first job, was on Austin and Ally with Laura and so now they're all grown up and they were so many jokes are little things in this movie that reminded me of those couple episodes Noah was on of Austin and Allie. Hmm. Like the bad dancing, that was like a trope that Allie on the show could not dance well, and she finally met a guy that also was a bad dancer. And so that was a thing on Austin and Allie. And so then when they were doing that at the dance in The Perfect Date, I was so happy. I'm like, oh, it's a little like tie back to my childhood. Well, not even my childhood. I think I was like 12 and 13 when Austin and Allie were on. It's just cute because it was like I was able to tie it back to Austin and Allie, and it was just I really enjoyed that aspect. I don't think it was the greatest movie in the world. The whole premise was a little like creepy to me. I'm like, you're gonna pay a guy to go on a date with you. I'm like, oh, just get Tinder or something, I don't know, but but it was cute because I had those like little nostalgia things in it, but also the premise I was a little like uncomfortable about, but you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. So this is really, so I have a niece that's 15 and she is very candid about her opinions with things, which is great. And I love it. She has very strong opinions, and it was just really funny because when I wrote up my review of this movie, I said that if I was 16, I would probably love it because he's so charming and so, you know, it seems like something I would have loved. And so I said, if you're 16, watch it. If you're not, give it a pass. And my niece was like, no, you're wrong. None of my friends liked it. So I was like, okay, whatever. Well, but
you said she's 15, right?
15, yeah.
So when Austin and Allie would have been on, she probably was like 5.
Yeah. Well, so like, and I don't think they have Disney Channel anyway. But it was just funny. You know, she's like, you're wrong. You don't understand teenagers. And I'm like, I probably don't.
But thank you for bringing that to light. That was incredibly insightful.
But... and here I'm going to throw out another comparison that you probably won't have seen, but I felt like this movie was trying to be Ferris Bueller.
Mm-hmm. Ferris Bueller on that. I'm cultured.
I felt like it was trying to be Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but without like the emotional heft of that movie, because there's a lot of emotion in Ferris Bueller. Like, he's basically trying to work Cameron up to confronting his dad. And when he finally, you know, destroys the car, like, that's a pretty emotional movie. It was a pretty emotional moment. And so, I don't know. I just felt like he was amazing. He was super charming. And I actually didn't, I'm surprised to hear they have this this backstory, because I didn't feel like he had very good chemistry with either of the girls, because Lara Morano and Camila Mendez, who are both lovely, but I don't know, I just, and so this one wasn't my favorite. I didn't feel like the script was that great. And I felt like for someone who's supposed to be so clued into things and so hip and everything, like he was so oblivious to his friend, like, hello. Like, what is going on? And but it's not awful. I didn't want to die or anything watching it, but it was my favorite.
Wow, there's a recommendation. You won't want to die if you watch this movie. Yes. So it's not that bad.
So, Amy, how many stars do you give it?
I'm going to go like 3.75.
Okay, good. Jennifer?
Okay, so this is why I don't like rating, but I gave it a 4, and I gave it a 4 more, like, I liked kind of the overall feeling that I had while I was watching it, as opposed to, like, if I go into the nitpicky, like, his friend was completely a caricature and didn't got completely ignored. And so there's all sorts, and it is weird to pay somebody to go on a date. But anyway, I overall enjoyed it. I liked all the little different spins. I loved the date that he went on with the girl so that the parents would like her boyfriend better. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that one?
Yeah,
he was just obnoxious and horrible. And I was like, that's kind of clever. Like, if you know your parents aren't going to like a guy, you just bring someone worse over and then they'll be over the moon to meet the other one. Anyway, so I gave it a 4 because I had a fun time watching it. It was a pleasant enough watch, and I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't really know what to expect.
Oh, so pretty high there. That's good. All right. I am
rating is confusing.
I know. Well, I can't remember what I gave it on Rotten Tomatoes. I think maybe I gave it a
negative three
or a four.
Whatever just above death is.
Out of 10. And so I think I'll give it out of 5, I'll give it a 2.75 stars. So, sorry, Amy. Okay.
I don't care.
Okay. Then,
are you apologizing for stealing her 0.75?
No. <I'm> just,
or because you didn't like it?
I don't want to. I don't want to poo on anybody's nostalgia. But anyway, so our next movie is The Last Summer. Mm-hmm. This one is going to be kind of difficult to talk about because there's so many different couplings, but mm-hmm. it's one of the classic kind of teenage stories that come around every so often that are about all these different teenagers and telling all these different stories. You're dazed and confused, can't hardly wait. What's one from my era? there's just a bunch of, this seems like it happens every so often. And you basically have this group in Chicago and you follow before they go to college this last summer. And it's the main is Griffin, played by KJ Apa. Ooh. And he starts to date.
Did you just whoop?
Did I? No, I didn't.
No, I thought she whooped.
Oh. I whooped.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's what I thought.
Oh. He's a favorite of yours, huh?
Yeah.
He's pretty handsome.
He is handsome.
Not on Riverdale though, because that hair. Oh.
Which one do you like better, KJ or Noah?
Noah.
Okay. All right. So KJ or Griffin is dating Maya, and who's? Griffin is dating Phoebe, played by Maya Mitchell.
There we go. I was like, yeah. Wait, that doesn't sound right.
This is going to be very difficult. And
I
so
got very confused.
There are a lot of people in this movie.
And yeah. Then there's Alec, who used to date Aaron. And then Alec starts to date popular girl Paige. And then
Alec? Hold on.
Alec or Alex?
Okay.
Alec.
I thought
Alec, played by Jacob Lattimore.
Oh, I thought Alec was the guy who was pretending to be older. Never mind.
No. We'll talk about them. That's Reese and Chad.
Got it. Okay.
I had this all written down, like the whole thing. Okay. So Alec dating Aaron, or used to date Aaron, and then now he's dating Paige, who's like popular girl. And then Aaron is dating baseball player Ricky.
Good grief.
I thought very attractive. I thought baseball player Ricky. Mm-hmm. Tyler Posey. And then you have Alec's best friend, Foster, played by the guy who has the coolest name, Wolfgang Novogratz. <That's
his name. laughs> can you imagine dating him? Just like, yeah, my boyfriend Wolfgang is here.
Be the best ever. And they are fixing driveways for the summer.
Uh-huh.
And then you have Aaron. Oh wait, no, I already did that. Then you have Audrey, who isn't dating anybody and just spending time with this spoiled little rich girl as a nanny. And she is played by Sosie Bacon, who is the daughter of Kevin Bacon. So and then these two guys that are pretending to be traders at this bar, stock traders, and to get women and booze because it's a super lax
bar
staff. That's Reese and Chad. And then you have last time you were on the podcast, Jennifer, we talked about Gabrielle Anwar in one of your selections. She is in this movie.
It took me forever to figure out who that was.
Yeah.
Forever. Sean actually said it like in passing. We were talking after the movie and he mentioned her name and I was like, wait a minute. And it just like stuck in my head. And I was like, I know that name. Was, oh my, what? And it was crazy. Her face doesn't move anymore.
But yes, so she is Griffin's mom, and then Griffin's dad is the worst. And
the worst.
And he cheats on her with Phoebe's mom.
Phoebe's mom.
So it's a web tangled web we weave here on The Last Summer. I guess I should just say, Amy, what were your overall thoughts and which of these pairings did you like the most?
Okay, so my favorite pairing was definitely Phoebe and Griffin. I kind of was like, well, can't we just have the whole movie about them? not that the other stuff wasn't cute, but I was like, I kind of want the whole movie about them. This reminded me a lot, because kind of all the different teenagers were connected in a different way. It reminded me a lot of like Valentine's Day, New Year's Eve, Mother's Day. Oh, yeah. That were like kind of ensemble cast, and they were somehow like connected in a little way. So that's what this reminded me of. I don't know how accurate I would say this movie is, because like all of these couples were like making family, and I feel like
that's our euphemism on the podcast.
Oh,
Amber and Rachel taught me that one.
Good one. Okay, yeah. Making a family.
Just making family.
Got it.
We're so good. Because these aren't on Hallmark Channel where they don't make family ever.
No.
Yeah. So never. Like all these teenagers are making family right after they graduate from high school, and I've read a lot of statistics in my life, and this is not statistically accurate. We're only one of the characters in this whole list. Is not making family. Only one of the teenagers. Yeah.
She's not even in a relationship, so she doesn't count.
She's hanging out with a little girl. So I'm like, you know, it's not super accurate, but I thought it was super cute, and I love KJ Apa and Maya Mitchell together. Their characters. I also think it's ironic because I think KJ Apa's from New Zealand and Maya Mitchell's from Australia.
Interesting.
So they have very similar accents in real life. It's funny. And then they're both playing Americans. So, But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I don't think it's necessarily accurate, because when I graduated from high school, there was not this much. People were like lazying around the pool all summer. This was not going on, because everyone's like, oh crap, we got to go to college in the fall type of thing. So maybe I just hang out with different types of people. I don't know. I enjoyed it.
What do you think, Jennifer?
Well, first of all, I think everybody should have to watch the movie with my husband, because it was hysterical. I wish desperately. I'm so sad that I don't have a recording of him. He was in the room, and I didn't think he was paying a lot of attention. I told him what movies I needed to watch. He wasn't terribly interested in watching any of them with me, so I've just been kind of watching them by myself. And so he had just finished editing and came down and was sitting in there, and I totally didn't think he was paying attention. And all of a sudden, he just starts going off, and we can get into it later if we need to, since that's not what you actually asked me. But it was the best thing ever. I was dying laughing. So
to tell him he needs to review it on his channel.
I can't imagine him doing that.
But it would be hilarious.
I don't even know if he could recreate it. I tried desperately. He doesn't know this, but I recorded him like four more times after that, trying to capture the same level of heat. And it was almost wasn't quite there. But anyway, so everyone should have to watch it with him. It was amazing. Overall, I'm with Amy. It's the same sort of like, that was not my experience. I don't understand. They're so somewhat super ambitious, both in where they're going with college, and then like lackadaisical, and they just want to have the greatest days of summer, but they're super zeroed in on making family. And I'm like, guys, this is not, like, I don't know what's happening, but there's more to life, people. But anyway, so I really like what Amy said about all the ensemble casts. I hadn't put those together. I think that gels really well with what this was. And the kid, the baseball player is from Made in Manhattan.
Oh, really?
A little boy and Made in Manhattan. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, he grew up well.
He did.
Wasn't Tyler Posey on Teen Wolf?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. I thought this was really sweet. I hated the kids trying to get laid and boozy at the bar. I hated that whole storyline. Was very cringy. I also thought that the whole thing with Griffin's dad and that causing him to break up with Phoebe was her to break up with him, or that was all just very snooze inducing to me. That was not interesting. Also some of the other, like, it was hit and miss with some of the plot lines. The popular girl, Paige and Alec, wasn't my favorite. You know, some of those weren't as good as other ones, but overall, I like these kind of movies. I like Dazed and Confused. I like Can't Hardly Wait, you know, kind of following all these group of teens. And you know, I also was fairly innocent when I was graduating. I mean, I was a Mormon girl going to BYU and all this stuff. So that was definitely not a part of my high school, that's for sure. But I don't know. I felt like it was sweet, and I liked the couplings enough, and I enjoyed it. Probably better than I thought I would. It's getting eviscerated on Letterboxd. People hate it. I thought it was okay. I would give it I'm gonna give it 4 stars, which is probably generous, but I'm feeling generous, I guess. What about you, Amy?
I'm going to go 3.5. It is not accurate.
All right.
Not accurate, but cute.
Okay, good. And Jennifer?
Oh, I don't even want to say it out loud. I'm going to give it a 2. I wanted to like it. And I like, maybe like if it stopped 3/4 of the way through, but I felt like the way that they wrapped all the plot lines up, I either didn't buy it, or I hated what they did with it.
Yeah, I can see that.
They wrapped the plot lines up, though, because there really was zero answers at the end.
Because like Phoebe and Griffin are back together, and Alec is back together with Aaron.
Yeah, but Griffin now is going to California, and Phoebe's going to New York for college. It's not going to work.
3 weeks tops.
I don't know, with Skyping and stuff nowadays, why not do long distance?
But it still doesn't work.
All right. Well, the next up we have Good Sam. And this is about a news reporter who is investigating anonymously left large cash gifts on the doorsteps in New York City. And this stars T.S. Sirkar. And I actually think this movie would have been better if it was an outright faith-based film. If kind of leaned into those feelings a little bit more, because I just felt like it was a Sunday school lesson stretched out to 90 minutes, and the dialogue felt so forced to me, and I felt like the romance wasn't satisfying. It was way too little. And like, it just felt boring to me. And I think it would have had like more emotional heft if they'd gone all the way and it had been about, you know, miracles and really gone to all the faith-based route. I might've liked it a little bit better, but I don't know. This one wasn't for me. I just didn't connect with it. I felt like, so this guy gives $400,000 to people. And yeah, he's trying to look good as a politician, but if that's the worst our politicians are doing is giving out $100,000 to random people, hey, sign me up for that train. That sounds a lot better than what we've had the last little while. And so, I don't know, I felt like the indignation at him was like kind of groan-worthy, and it just wasn't my favorite. What about you, Jennifer? What do you think?
I really wanted to like this one a lot more than I did. I liked the concept, you know, the jaded reporter likes to do the hard-hitting stories and then find something, you know, miraculous or heartwarming or whatever you want to call it. And it just missed the bar for me. It just, yeah. It was like, it had all the right pieces and it was in the right structure and conceptually it should have worked, but I don't really know what was missing, to be honest. I don't know if it was that they just didn't embrace the whole faith thing, or there just wasn't really a conflict, really. Like it was just a story. And then, like you said, with the politician, the biggest conflict is that he took credit for something, you know, he didn't do, which...
But he did do it. Like he took credit for some of it.
He took credit to be, yeah.
But then he just did it.
Took all of it, and then he actually did some of it.
Yeah.
So he would have been better off saying, I was inspired by these acts, and so I've done some of my own, but, you know, whatever. He did it to get the credit. So that was the shady part, and that he took credit for the first ones that he had nothing to do with. But it was just really predictable, and just nothing landed for me. I don't know. I wanted to like it, and I thought it was pretty. I thought it was filmed well, but I just didn't enjoy it all that much.
What about you, Amy?
I feel like I knew exactly what was going to happen in the entire movie 10 minutes in. Like, yeah, I was like, all right, she's going to end up with this guy. He's actually going to do it. This guy's somehow going to try and take credit for it, and... Like, I liked it. Don't get me wrong. I feel like this is the closest to what we'd see on Hallmark out of all the movies we're watching.
Yeah, that's fair. but there would be way more romance in Hallmark. Oh, for sure. The romance was...
Wedding March 5, and they only have a promise ring, all right?
Well, the Wedding March movies are... Nobody understands them, but for the most part, it would be way more romance than if this was on Hallmark, for sure.
Yeah, it was I was so predictable. I liked the premise, but it was just really, really predictable. It had a lot of tropes. I wish there would have been at like one more like steer away type of thing, like someone else who it could have been. Mm-hmm. So like at least there would have been a little bit more of a mystery or a hunt. But it kind of like...
Or I wish the politician was like a legit bad guy.
Yeah.
He was legitimately evil and up to no good. They're just...
The money was actually embezzled or something. I don't know.
Yes, but he had it and he just gave it away and he took credit for what somebody else did, which is, you know, and that's not honorable, but it's not the worst thing ever.
And that's also what Hallmark would do as well, for sure.
Yeah.
Nobody loves a bad man of business more than Hallmark Channel. But... It is the most out of these ones. I do agree with you there.
Yeah, so it was good. I liked it, but it was really predictable. And I think at the end, the whole thing with the coin, I'm assuming they're going to try to make a sequel because that ending made no sense to me. Yeah.
I was confused. I agree. And I really liked Taya Sirkar's Christmas movie, the Christmas Lost and Found, I think it was called, on Lifetime.
Which one was that one?
It was the one where the grandma has stuff all over.
Yeah, that
she
was
lost
okay.
the
that
ornaments.
Was,
and
that was good.
It was pretty good.
Top 10.
The super hunky neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was really good.
What was this one called again? I need to look it up.
Christmas Lost and Found. It was pretty good. It was pretty
okay.
Good. So, all right.
Watched, like 70 Christmas movies.
Yeah.
I remember like Sean was doing his end of the year and he said however many movies he'd watched in the whole year, and Rachel's movie, just exclusively her count for Hallmark movies only, was almost as much as what he'd watched in the entire year. And I was like, wow, that is commitment. That is impressive.
Last year, I saw 95 Hallmark movies, and I saw 85, and this includes some of those Hallmark movies, I saw 85 Christmas movies last year.
Heavens to Betsy.
It was nuts, and reviewed most of them with Amy, so she's a trooper.
Mine was close to 70, I think. Like, it was like 67 or 68 or something, and I'm just like... This fall, I'm already preparing myself.
Yeah, because you don't understand, Jennifer. Hallmark Christmas movies start before Halloween.
They're like Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, they are. The Hobby.
Hobby Lobby today, and there was fall decorations.
Oh, yeah. They've got Christmas decorations up in ours.
They are the Hobby Lobby of television in many ways. I think that's very true. But this one, honestly, I can't imagine really wanting to watch it again. It was pretty boring for me. I give it 2 stars. What about you, Jennifer?
I gave it 1.5 stars.
Yeah. Amy?
I'm going to be generous and give it 2.5 stars.
Oh, okay. All right. Last one. We have Always Be My Maybe. And this is about, the premise is very Hallmark. Some of the content wouldn't be, but
true.
It's about these childhood friends who were, attached to the hip. And then they end up falling apart. moving away from each other. She becomes this celebrity chef. He ends up working for his dad's air conditioner business. And then they end up reconnecting, and you have this sort of conflict of he's a normal guy, she's the celebrity. And it's starring Ali Wong as Sasha Tran and Randall Park as Marcus Kim.
Jim.
What's that?
Jim. He was
he was on The Office. That's right.
For one episode, and he's like immortalized forever.
That was hilarious. And he's on Fresh Off the Boat, isn't he?
I don't know.
I think he is. I'm pretty sure.
I'm looking it up right now.
But
yes, he is.
Yes. But anyway.
He was in Ant-Man and the Wasp as well. He was that agent that always kept trying to catch.
You're right. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Yeah, he was always trying to catch him up to no good.
Yeah.
He was running, never catch him.
And Ali Wong is the best. I love the show American Housewife. I think it is so funny. And she is on that show. She plays Katie Nixon's, one of her girlfriends, and that they meet together for breakfast every day on the show or whatever. And she's hilarious. And I've seen some of her stand up, and she's really, really good. Very raunchy, but very good. And the big surprise, I guess, but they revealed it in the trailer, so I feel like we can talk about it, is Mr. Keanu Reeves.
Keanu for the win.
Yes. And if first this movie was not doing it for me, I was just kind of like, ugh, I don't like this person. I wasn't liking it. But right around when Keanu appears, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is hilarious. And I just didn't feel like many of the early jokes were landing. But then I thought that whole Keanu bit for like 15 minutes in the middle was hilarious. And I was dying laughing. And when they go to that whole monochromatic dinner, that was so funny.
What a black burrito to go.
Yeah. So LA, like that whole scene, I was like, wow, I know they were in San Francisco, but I'm like, yeah, this is so LA.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was so funny. And he's like, I don't know. I loved that. And when he punches Keanu and he's like, I just punched Keanu. That was so funny. And so after that, once they actually like kind of started dating, then I thought their chemistry really worked. And I was just laughing a lot. And I also, it has a Hallmark alum, Karen Holness, is in this and playing the Diana Ross imitator. And I thought that whole thing was very funny as well. Overall, I just laughed a lot. And I thought his ending speech was so great. I loved that.
When she was on the runway?
Yes. It was so good. And so it really won me over by the end. And I really enjoyed it. And I think it was a really solid romantic comedy for sure for me. So, Jennifer, what did you think?
Well, I was excited about it from the trailer, like from the get-go, because they used Mariah Carey, which is just a win for me, because that's all I listened to in 1996. So I was real excited about it. I feel like overall, I loved it. There were a few moments where I felt like, you know, you're watching a movie and you're completely engrossed in it, and then all of a sudden you remember you're watching a movie, like you're just taken out of it. There are a few moments like that where I felt like that was a weird joke or that wouldn't happen in real life. But overall, those are so minimal. And especially, I just gotten huge trouble recently for saying I didn't like Keanu Reeves. I don't like him as an actor, and I just got reamed, and I was like, this is why I don't do any YouTube or podcasts, because then I get in trouble. So I was super happy to see Keanu in something that I could really enjoy. I think he nailed it. I thought it was hysterical. Like you said, I love their chemistry. I love their story. I loved what they did with their story and how they integrated into their character arcs. And I thought it was a really sweet film.
Well, we at the Hallmarkies podcast are open to all points of view.
You
can dislike any actor that you want.
Well, I don't even remember why I brought him up, but I do. It's a completely rabbit trail, so we don't have to talk about it right now, but John and I had watched a movie where he was in, and it was
Replicas.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was abysmal. It was just terrible. And I keep like, I know he's quote unquote a star, but is he really?
He selects roles in general very well.
I know he's gotten better at it. I will say that. And this was just perfect. This was tongue in cheek. This was kind of making fun of himself. He played it off so well. And I mean, he seems like a really nice man. I just don't enjoy what he's in very much. So
yeah,
my apologies. Anyone who's in love with Keanu.
Yeah, I get that. The one thing that I did think was ridiculous is the whole idea that his band is going to be like famous or something. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that that's going to be like the next hip hop revolution. His band was so bad.
Well, I was talking to Sean. I was like, I don't understand what it is about that. Like, they're not bad. Like, they're just on this complete, they're exactly on the line. And I don't know what line that is, but they're not terrible, but they're certainly not good. But they're just good enough. Well, sure. I mean, there's no way. There's no way it would go anywhere.
It felt like the kind of thing that I would see at like a talent show at church or something, like some not the content, but the level of quality, you know, like some guy who thinks he's so cool and is this little talent show, and he's like, he's not cool. I don't know. Yeah. But
I thought he did relatively well. I don't know who wrote what, but there was a lot of repetition in his lyrics, and I was like, okay, we gotta just end the verse, just kill it. It's done. We got it.
You're not gonna be the next Hamilton. Let's just stop.
It reminds me of this band that some guys from my high school had, and it was called like Sweaters in July or something. Oh, gosh. It was like very similar to that.
And so for that skill level, then they were okay. But as a grown man with a celebrity chef significant other, maybe we should aspire to bigger things.
Like, he has more of a chance of making it famous in heating and air conditioning than as a performer. As far as
a performing heating and air conditioning.
Yeah, there you go.
Sing while he installs an AC unit. Okay, delete that. I didn't mean that at all. Please.
But Amy, what did you think of this one?
I was really hesitant because everyone who was in this movie, I've never been interested in anything they've ever been in. Like, I've never seen any of them before. Like, I don't watch American Housewife. I don't watch Fresh Off the Boat. Literally, the only time I've ever seen Keanu Reeves before this was when I was forced to watch Much Ado About Nothing. And like,
oh, that's his bad. That's one of his really bad ones. But yeah.
No clue who any of these people were. And I ended up loving it. I still don't get Keanu Reeves. I don't get it. Maybe because he's like four times my age. But like, I don't get him. I don't get any of the films he's in. So I don't understand the like draw of Keanu Reeves. Oh, he's not four times. He'd be like 80.
Yeah, I was going to say, not quite there yet.
But twice my age, but whatever.
So you've never seen like Speed or... any of those.
I'm like I'm looking at his filmography and I'm like, these are a lot of movies my dad would probably watch.
He does do a lot of action film.
So yeah, I mean, I really ended up loving the movie, but yeah. I don't think I'm gonna feel any like connection to any of the actors or actresses, just because I'm looking at everything they've ever made and I'm like, I don't want to watch any of this stuff. So yeah, but this movie was really, really good. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, good. Very good. All right. Well, I give Always Be My Maybe 4.5 stars. I really enjoyed it. It was so funny. And that speech at the end was perfect. Mm-hmm. It was so good. Jennifer, what do you think?
I gave it 4.5 stars as well.
All right.
I obviously am very stingy with my fives, but I felt like it was a really good time. It was really fun, and I'll definitely watch it again.
Yeah, for sure. Amy, what about you?
I gave it a 4.
Very good.
That's the one we're closest on out of all of them.
All right. Well, this was really fun. I had a great time talking with you guys about these. And so if you're listening, let us know what you think of these 5 movies. How many stars would you give them? And we'd love to hear in the comment section, or you can chat with Amy and I on Twitter and we can talk about it. That would be really fun. So let us know what you think. And thank you so much, you guys, for coming on talking with us about these movies with me. I really appreciate it. And Amy, where can people find you?
You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at It's Amy Craig.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of her social media, and on iTunes and on YouTube. And I would ask Jennifer, but I know she doesn't have social media.
I'm on social media. I just don't have any account.
Yeah.
No, I'm not a public figure. Right.
And make sure you're subscribed to us at Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media, and on iTunes and YouTube. If you listen on iTunes, if you give us your ratings and reviews, we really appreciate it. And if you're listening on YouTube, if you could give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, we appreciate that as well. And consider becoming a patron of the channel. We have our special Facebook group at only $5 a month where we can talk about any movie that we want, and not just Hallmark movies. And so we talk about these Netflix movies. It's really fun, and all opinions are welcome. And so it's great. And then we also have our merch store where we've been having our little competition between the different fandoms, and postables are cleaning up. But there's some really fun stuff over at tpublic.com/Hallmarkies. And then we also have our feedback show, which we do every week. So if you have any thoughts about any of these movies and you'd like to share with us or anything, other content or anything that you want, you can call and leave a voicemail at 801-855-6407. You can send us an email, feedback@hallmarkiespodcast.com. Anyway, there you go. That's these movies for Netflix. Let us know what you think. And if you have any others that you've seen on Netflix or wherever else that you'd like our opinions on, just let us know. That would be fun. And thanks a lot. And we'll talk to y'all later. Bye.
Bye. Bye.